Good morning, and welcome to Metsä's full year 2013 results conference call. Hosting today's call will be Mr. Miroslav Godlevski, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. John Eastick, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Godlevski, you may now begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Metsä 2013 results conference call. As always, throughout the call, we will be referring to presentation posted on Metsä's website this morning at 2:30 a.m. Let's start with 2013 full year guidance delivery, and that is starting with page 2 of the mentioned presentation. We ended the year with 2,526 RGUs. Revenue reached 1,876 million zlotys. Adjusted EBITDA came at 551, which is slightly above guidance. And again, record high EBITDA margin of 29.4%. Adjusted EBIT was 111 million zlotys, which is in line with guidance. Adjusted operating free cash flow came at 311 million, and that is a direct result of higher capex than guided, and that capex guidance overrun was caused by higher business access capex and late decision to buy the freehold of the former head office location, quite often referred to as Polecki office. Let's flip to the next page to go through some more highlights of the past year, page 3 of that presentation. Net debt after closing of the year came at 291 million zlotys, and that is a reduction by almost 30% what it was past year. And that represents only 0.53 multiple of the 2013 adjusted EBITDA. Our business segment, which we'll be referring to as B2B, remains solid, while the residential segment, called B2C, is really delivering on its two most important, long-term most important, strategically most important objectives, which is growth of TV services and also accelerates on the on-net broadband sales. Now we'll walk you through some more details on the next few pages. The CDN project, which is the integration of Crowley, Dialog, and Netia, is progressing as planned, and Jonathan Eastick will refer to a little bit more details later on. And also, now, from the organizational perspective, it's time to focus on speed of operations between the two distinct business units. And we'll also walk you through that, how it kicked off, and what are the plans and expectations of that organizational realignment going forward. We'll be referring to this split as Netia to power of two business units. Speaking of which two business units, if you flip to page 4, our B2B business unit came with a revenue in the fourth quarter of 179 million, which is equal to a prior quarter for the third quarter, and it is down by 15% on year-on-year basis. As you will see later, it's strongly driven by the NPR reduction, but also voice ARPU is under pressure, and we do have, through acquisition, some overrepresentation of voice revenue in that segment. Adjusted EBITDA margin was almost 51% in the quarter of 2013. That's a sequential drop really reflects increase of acquisition costs driven by growth of the B2B customer base and higher advertising spend. Capital expenditure came at 33 million in the fourth quarter, therefore operating free cash flow for that segment came at 56 million zlotys. B2C segment, residential segment, revenue was 263 million in the fourth quarter, which is down 2% compared to prior quarter and down 12% year-on-year basis. and it is driven by falling voice and broadband RGUs by 2% for the quarter and 10% on year-on-year basis. But again, we have a very substantial growth in TV services, which is almost doubled compared to prior year, and it's another quarter of growth, 8% on quarterly basis. And also, you will see later some more details, progress on on-net, in on-net broadband. So adjusted EBITDA for that segment came at almost 25% in the fourth quarter. ARPU stable in most product lines and consistent with our strategy to focus on high-end customers rather than reprice its services to defend off-net customer base, which is so much less profitable to us at this stage. Capital expenditures came for at 33 million for that segment, and adjusted EBITDA, adjusted operating free cash flow at 33 million. Commercial focus going forward in the B2C segment is really on retention of the base, but also on-net broadband and TV services growth. While really, again, continuing the defocus of low profitability wholesale access services being the WLR and BSA. So let's flip to page 6 to take a deeper look at services. I'm flipping one page, some of the details you may wish to follow up, and I will now focus now on page 6. So on broadband ports, we finished the year with 849,000 services, and as you can see, copper, fiber, and Ethernet combined, which is our on-net activities, turned positive already in the second quarter, accelerated in the third quarter of 2013 and Q4, but frankly speaking, the fourth quarter expectations we had on growth of those on-net services were even higher, and we do see performance of an improved performance now in the first quarter, so hopefully that fourth quarter underperformance to expectations was one-off in this trend. Nevertheless, the absolute focus going forward is on this on-net activities when it comes to broadband. So now 47% of our customers are serviced directly on our own network. Broadband ARPU was stable at 56 zlotys versus the previous quarter, with SAC slightly falling in the fourth quarter. Page 7, voice lines. As you would expect, shrunk down to 1,489,000 services, solely driven by WLR defocus, which is in line with what we were declaring. So now 43% of customers are serviced directly on our own network, which is another 4 percentage point improvement compared to last year. Blended voice ARPU is relatively stable with 42 zlotys in the fourth quarter, and it's fully stable for WLR with 45 zlotys, while on-net ARPU is down to due to bundling and more aggressive defense. Again, in line with our strategy to retain more services on high profitability on-net on network. Television, which is shown on page 8, television services reached 120,000 and maintained positive momentum throughout 2013. And now with also a stable ARPU of 33 zlotys quarter-to-quarter basis. And that should hold also trend throughout 2014 as we've launched attractive offer in the fourth quarter, and it's now 170 TV channels available in this IP adaptive streaming technology, which, as you will see on next page, allows us to reach out to many more households. So page 9, which is let's take a look at the NGA upgrade, which is key for TV and on-net broadband strategy. And I'm happy to report that there has been further progress with 41,000 homes passed rolled out in the fourth quarter. So as of end of December last year, Netia covered in total almost 1.3 million households with this NGA network. Including LLU and our own ADSL 2 Plus, also Ethernet homes passed, with the cutoff of the bandwidth at 14 megabits per second, Netia is really able to provide TV services based on that mentioned smooth streaming technology into nearly 3.9 million households. It gives us access to almost 30%, 28% of all homes passed in Poland. So you can really imagine the potential of further progress we can make with TV. So that is a quick update on the commercial side. Hopefully you would have more questions, which I'll be happy to answer later on. And now I will pass to Jonathan Istik, Netia's CFO, to walk you through more update on integration project, the project of splitting organization into Netia into a power of two, and then details of financials. Jonathan?
Thank you very much, Mirek. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us on our Q4 and full year 2013 conference call. As Mirek said, I will start off before I go through the financial results for the year by talking about two key organizational projects that we have running. One is coming to an end, the integration of Dialog and Crowley. The other one is just getting started, which is the creation of two new business units for B2B and B2C. So starting with the integration project on slide 10 in your package, Netia has now delivered, we've calculated on a bottom-up basis, versus the 2011 spend that the three companies had together, synergies totaling 265 million zloty, which splits about 219 million for OPEX, and the rest coming through on the CAPEX side. And overall, we've delivered about 25% more than the original plan that we published at the time of the acquisition. So we're very, very satisfied with this outcome. The project is now, however, drawing to a close. There are only a few projects outstanding to be completed. The key one is the CRM integration, whereby the billing system and the CRM of the Dialog business is going to be shut down and all the data moved on to the Netia systems, and that's scheduled to happen early in Q2. And we will expect to stabilize everything over the course of Q2, and then we'll be able to take remaining synergies around the IT functions, customer care, and areas that are really driven by the IT systems. Another project which has somewhat been forced on us by Dialog's former owners, KGHM, informing us that they'd like to redevelop the old head office of Dialog, is that we need to vacate those premises, which means moving a lot of IT equipment and network equipment out of the basement building. And this is a point you can see at the bottom of slide 10. So throughout this year, we'll be spending about 3.5 million zloty on capital investment to move this functionality into other premises. It will save us some rent, but it's not a crucial project from an OPEX perspective. Moving on to the big initiative for 2014 on slide 11, Netia to the Power of Two is a project whereby we're creating two largely autonomous business units from our current organization. You can see schematically on this slide how we're changing the organization. If you look on the left-hand side, you can see that Netia, going into 2013, was basically a functional organization, and the sales function was split between sales teams focused on particular customer markets. all the rest of the operations had to support as equally as possible the requirements of those four sales teams. That structure had pretty much been in place for many, many years at Netia, and we came to the conclusion during the course of 2013 we'd like to try something different, to try and accelerate commercial performance, to try and increase the autonomy of operation of the commercial part of the business, and also to look for new cost-saving opportunities. And what we came up with is the creation of these two divisions, the B2C business unit and the B2B business unit. The sales forces were reorganized into this structure in the middle of last year, so there won't be any changes to our revenue reporting as a result of this change, because those changes have already taken place. The major change is the appointment of two managing directors to the management board of the company, one to run each business unit. The first of these managing directors, Thomas Schopper, has already been appointed and is already working with the group. The second big change is the split of certain functions to those that are customer facing to focus either on B2B or on B2C and to work directly with those managing directors. Now, we calculate that this will have a number of benefits. We think that, first of all, we'll be able to react more quickly to the market. We'll be able to get a better level of execution and coordination than we've had up until now. And thirdly, we'll also be able to extract synergies that weren't or cost savings that weren't so obvious in the old functional structure. Everything had been optimized on a functional basis. Now we're going to be able to optimize on a value chain basis around how we serve the customers. In the rest of the organization, the changes are more minor. There will be a network factory and an IT factory, so we're keeping the network and IT functions pretty much unchanged, and they'll support both business units. Corporate services are going to actually be allocated to the business units in a way that we've not done up until now. We've always held all the back office costs in an other segment, and then the HQ costs will be the only things that are not allocated into the business units. So you will get a clearer picture of the profitability of the two business units than you've had up until till now. But just to be clear, in case of any wondering about what this means from a legal perspective, we're not making any changes to the legal structure of the Netia group. We're not trying to split the network between the two units. We're not creating separate legal entities. This is really just a management, accounting, and organizational change that we hope will bring a lot of major operational benefits. Now, this project is running full speed right now. We think the reorganization should be finished in time to go live from Q2. And all the management reporting and segment information you receive should be up to date probably by Q3 this year. Okay, so with those remarks about the big organizational changes, I'll move on to financial performance, starting on slide 12 with the key financial results. For the full year of 2013, revenue came in at $1,876,000,000. That's just a shade above the updated guidance. It's 11.6% down, $145 million down on a year earlier. Our adjusted EBITDA came in at a record 29.4% margin, $551 million zloty. Marginally ahead of the guidance. We started the year, I remind you, with guidance of 5.5 million. We upgraded it mid-year to 550, and we've delivered on that figure. The EBITDA is, the adjusted EBITDA is 40 million lower than a year earlier when we recorded 591, which in other respects you could say it's the 40 million versus the 245 of lost revenue equates to only 16% lost EBITDA relative to lost revenue. And that shows the resilience of the business and how the focus that we have on growing the on-net business where the margins are higher helping us to reduce the impact of the falling revenue on profitability and free cash flow. The key supports for the margin over the course of the last 12 months obviously have been the incremental savings on the CDN project, which is about 67 million year on year. The increasing on-net share of in our customer base, and also the interconnect cost savings associated with the reduction in the MTR rates over the course of 2015. When we look at the pressures on the revenue, they're really coming from three different sources, all more or less in equal proportion. The first one is the drop in RGUs. We've lost about 162,000 RGUs over the course of 2013. That's 6% of the base. However, as Mirek mentioned already, we are growing TV strongly, and we are growing on-net broadband RGUs, and also growing B2B RGUs. So the drops are really restricted to B2C and to the off-net services primarily. The second element of the decline is falling on-net voice ARPUs, which have been down quite strongly this year. This is partly the deflationary situation in the market. This is partly passing on MTR cuts to the B2B customers, and it's partly just the effect of bundling voice services together with TV and broadband, which just is really a redistribution of revenue from one product to another. And the third element is obviously the fall in the MTRs. This is something that shouldn't really repeat going into 2014. The rates are at 4 groschi. There don't seem to be any plans to cut any further. And the only knock-on impact we'll see going forward are continuing price reductions, really mostly in the B2B segment, as customers become aware that our cost base has gone down. Looking at other elements on this slide, net debt is down to under 300 million now, 291 million zloty, which is only 0.53 times the current EBITDA margin. That obviously puts us in a very good position for any potential future M&A opportunities. We still have plenty of room to increase our leverage. Just coming back to the quarterly performance, Q4 saw revenues at 450.8 million zloty versus 457 million in Q3. So although it was a 13% year-on-year drop, sequentially, the pace of reduction in revenue is slowing down. It was only 1% lower than in Q3. And if we manage to execute on continued acceleration on-net and on B2B during the course of 2014, you'll see us moving towards a mid-single digits type of reduction in revenue over the course of 2014. The next slide, 13, really shows you how the revenue is composed across the different service lines. What's most important to note here is the disproportionate impact of losses in voice revenue on the overall revenue decline. We've lost about 16% in off-net revenues, which is mainly associated with the loss of the WLR customers, where we're fighting to maintain ARPU, we're fighting to maintain the base as best we can, but we're not looking for acquiring new customers. And we've also lost about 17% or so of revenue on network, but as I said, this is mainly from more aggressively defending the base and from the effects of bundling. Data revenue is much, much more stable. We actually had a flat result between Q3 and Q4 at 185 million zloty. You can see that on-net other services, which are mainly B2B, was actually growing quarter to quarter, and on-net broadband was flat at 81 million zloty. So we'll be looking for those trends to start to accelerate along with the on-net customer base increase quarter to quarter. Television revenue is down in other revenues as part of other services. It's now running at about 13 million zloty a quarter and growing quite quickly. And we also see better stability in carrier revenues between Q3 and Q4 as the situation now vis-a-vis MTRs and transit revenues is stabilized. Moving on to slide 14, here you can see how the adjusted EBITDA moved from the 591 we recorded last year to the 501 million we recorded in 2013. The story here pretty much the same as in previous quarters. The loss in RGUs in B2C has gone slightly faster than we were hoping for, mainly because the on-net pickup didn't come through as fast as we were planning, although directionally we're moving the right way. On the other hand, ARPU hasn't declined as quickly as we thought it would do. In B2B, we have something of the opposite situation. We actually have quite good RGU gains, but there really is a lot of pressure on ARPUs, and the revenue, therefore, has come in below the original expectation. In carriers, most of the revenue loss was related to MTR deflation, and so the net impact on our EBITDA was actually quite small, only 10 million zloty. On the cost side, all cost items basically better than a year earlier, except A&P, which was 2 million higher than in the previous year. So that enabled us to come in at the 551 result that we just reported. Moving on to slide 15 and looking at the P&L below adjusted EBITDA through to the net profit for the group. A number of items appeared below adjusted EBITDA in Q4 that are worthy of comment. First of all, the initial costs of setting up the N to the power of 2 project that I mentioned earlier came in at about 1.5 million. The whole implementation, together with some restructuring costs that we expect to come through as we take some cost out of the organization, we expect to be around about 5 million. So there'll be a few million more coming through during the course of 2014 in the early part of the year. The second item is the 2.6 million zloty impairment of the investment property that we have at the former head office on Pilecki Street in Warsaw. Market prices still under pressure for property. We did an independent valuation at the end of the year, and this led to a small impairment of about 10% of the value of the property. If the property prices go back up, however, that would get written back. Looking further down the P&L, depreciation down year on year by about 9%. Feeds through to a good EBIT result at 93 million zloty, about 110 million zloty on an adjusted basis, excluding all the below EBITDA adjustments. Financial expenses down along with the lower debt, lower tax charge as well, so that as a result, the net profit for the group for the year was 46.3 million zloty. Because of the impairment we booked last year, it compares very well to the net loss of 87.7 million we recorded in 2012. Netgear itself had Netgear SA itself had a net profit of over 30 million zloty, which simplifies our lives in terms of being able to propose a straightforward dividend this year, unlike the way we made a payout in 2012. CapEx and free cash flow on slide 16. the CapEx actually came in a little bit ahead of our guidance. We were guiding for 225 million zloty for adjusted CapEx for the year. We actually came in at 240 million, and there were two main reasons for that. One was that on the B2B side, the demand was actually much higher than we were expecting. As a result, our access CapEx spend for activating new customers and bringing in new business that we'll see in the revenues in the early part of 2014 came in about 4 or 5 million above our original expectations. And the other major item was a decision to spend 6.5 million zloty to convert the perpetual usufruct that we had under the on the land that's under our old head office into a freehold. We think this, in the long run, will increase the value of that property and increase our flexibility about how we use that property. So we decided to spend that money, but it wasn't something that we were planning as we went into the quarter, and therefore it translated into an overrun versus guidance. In terms of operating free cash flow, you can see on the right-hand side of the slide how that's grown since 2008 from a negative position all the way up to well over 300 million zloty. The last 2 years we've had over 300 million of adjusted free cash flow. And as you'll see in a second, we expect to stay above 300 million in 2014, giving us plenty of flexibility for dividends and also to continue reducing the debt position. So with those comments, I'll hand it back to Mirosław to take you through the guidance and our distribution plans for the shareholders for this year.
Thank you, Jonathan. So page 17, take a quick look at 2014 guidance. We expect revenue to come at 1,735,000,000 zlotys, with adjusted EBITDA of 505 million zlotys, and keep a very strong, healthy EBITDA margin of 29%. We expect to come at 75 million zlotys with CapEx of 200 million. That will give an adjusted operating free cash flow at a very healthy level of 305 million zlotys. We decided to not to provide RGU guidance for 2014, as our focus is really on the product features and restructuring cost reduction, including in that program of net cap to power of 2. But nevertheless, the RGU is focused, the focus is on grow of it, especially, again repeating, on on-net and television, and also on the B2B side. Distribution policy, here I think you would appreciate a continuation of what we've been, I guess, now saying for the past 2 years. Based on the free cash flow projection we just talked about, management estimates that the company may distribute up to 146 million or pro forma 42 groszy per outstanding share already in 2014 and going forward. We may envision that leverage may rise to one times EBITDA in the medium term, with just a reminder of being at half of past year's EBITDA level right now. In order to keep that flexibility as we used it and had it last year, we are considering a proposal to shareholders of a new share buyback program in case there would be any obstacles in paying a straight dividend. But in terms of our cash ability, it's 42 groszy a share, what we are envisioning going forward. So let's just look at the summary, page 18. We produced what we believe is a solid set of results for the full year of 2013. which really underlines the resilience of our business against deflationary competitive market conditions. There is a very visible progress in our TV services and the on-net broadband throughout 2014, and those are the key strategic objectives to turn around the revenue trend going forward. B2B is a cash generative segment, and it beautifully balances pressure on the B2B segment, the pressure on mostly regulated aspects of that segment. An important part of that strategic shift with the on-net focus is expansion of our NGA network, and we have made progress throughout 2013. And if you also add 400,000 of HFC homes passed, we took over from UPC last year, this will be a very significant average to go after, especially that we are adding Warsaw and Krakow as key, most attractive markets from a demographic perspective. A reorganization of B2B and B2C operating divisions is expected to go live in the second quarter with really double objective of improving commercial performance and also operational efficiency. Full guidance, I just walked you through. We talk about keeping the healthy profile of free cash flow and EBITDA margin, remaining at a very low leverage level of 0.53 as we ended the last year. Therefore, this dividend of 42 groszy per share is what we will be proposing to shareholders at the nearest shareholders meeting. So with this summary of 2013 results, which is my seventh year of leading the company, I also need to inform you, which you might already read in the current report, that in agreement with the supervisory board, I decided to stand down from CEO position, but at the same time, I have contractually agreed to remain in the job while SB supervisory board searches for a suitable replacement until it's completed, but no longer than August 31st of this year. In case it's our last conference call, I would like to thank you for years of cooperation and also wish you all the best in 2014 and further satisfaction with Netia and its development. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our conference call, and now it's time for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question on this call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question has come from the line of Tibor Boker from Wood. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Congratulations on the results and even more bullish guidance. And I would like to stay there, and I would like to ask whether there are any one-off OPEX and CAPEX that you already know that we should be looking into 2014. You mentioned relocation from the dialogue from the KGHM building, so stuff like that would already impact the free cash flow guidance for 2014. Second question would be on the distribution policy. Just the comment on the leverage may rise to 1x EBITDA. Seems to me that the distribution is significantly lower than the free cash flow, so why would the leverage go up to 1x? And last question, strategic one. We have a recovering economy in Poland, and I saw this as an opportunity to step up, increase the investment into acquiring more customers, especially as you have already mentioned, you have so many homes passed and so little penetration, and seems like the supervisory board preferred not to do that this year. Should we read this as this might change during the year, or should we read this that the company prefers to be focusing on cash generation rather than taking market share and being more aggressive in a better economic environment. Thank you very much.
Chico, thank you very much for those questions. I'll take the first two, and Amirat will pick up the third question. We're expecting approximately 15 million of additional capex related to the CDN integration. That's mainly finishing off the IT migration and a few million zloty to do the network migration out of the old head office of Dialog. On the cost side, we will see a few million coming through, something in the region of about 5 million zloty. Mainly related to cost savings, reorganizational change savings associated with this Enter the Power of Two project. So smaller numbers than you've seen in 2013, and so I think the overall free cash flow will actually be higher than it was in 2013. On the second question, you were asking under what circumstances would the leverage rise up to 1x. I mean, basically, all we're flagging there is that we do have a lot of space in terms of our leverage position, and in a situation where EBITDA or a free cash flow continued declining over time, we wouldn't have any problem to allow the leverage level to go up to around about 1x before we'd start worrying about whether or not we could maintain the dividend at this 140 million plus level. Obviously, to get the leverage, you have to look at two numbers. One is the debt level, the other one is the EBITDA itself, right? So it can also go up because the EBITDA is going down.
I'll happily refer to the recovering economy. Obviously, as we know, telecommunication is a bit less cyclical than economy and affects the way it affects other businesses, which we've seen positives of it when there was a slowdown in GDP, and equally so on the positive side, I think it doesn't have an immediate impact. However, we see this pickup, for instance, in the B2B fourth quarter results, which came ahead of expectations, and that's part of the reasons for the overrun of the access capex. And obviously, at the management level, we had a lot of debate how to best use cash we are generating. One way is dividend and dividend levels, but then more operational, it's how to best allocate investment between B2B and B2C. I think we are very bullish about the opportunities in B2B, and where we are having high margin. It's mostly done on our own infrastructure, and we see potential to grow there. The discussion is continued on B2C front, on how much and at what pace we want to invest in television rollout and connected this on-net modernization, expansion, and upgrades. But yes, you're right, both segments should benefit from the economy recovery going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question has come from the line of Vera Sutejia from Erste Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My question is following up the dividend policy. So, if I'm not mistaken, I read that it's supposed to be a trend gradually increasing. So, which one are we, in which page are we supposed to have the 146 sustainable level, or is it supposed to be gradually increasing? That means maybe next year we expect a higher dividend, or can you be more specific on that?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Yeah, I mean, as the policy says, I mean, we foresee and we hope that we'll be able to gradually, lightly increase this dividend payment. in the medium term, I mean, in the short term, this year and next year, the dividend is very safe. I mean, in the medium term, obviously, it's going to depend on net profitability, and that's going to really be a function of how well we stabilise the EBITDA level, which depends on that, on the returns on investment we're able to get from the B2B and the B2C investments. It also depends pretty critically on depreciation, and we do see that the run rate on depreciation will gradually start to reduce over the next few years. So even if the EBITDA is on a slightly downward trend, we should see depreciation dropping, and therefore the net profit being more or less maintained. Yeah, so we're confident at this point in time that we can keep paying this dividend for the foreseeable future. And as I mentioned on the previous question, you know, the leverage itself is really not an issue. We would, if need be, allow the leverage level to go up from the current levels to maintain the dividend.
Thank you. And a follow-up question. On top of that, there is also mentioned a proposal for share buybacks. So on top of the 0.42 dividend, we will see share buyback, or this is only as a fallback option in the case that you cannot pay the 0.42?
It's really for two purposes. I mean, the main one is to provide us flexibility of how to pay. I mean, we do have in Poland some legal debate about the commercial code and whether or not you can pay a dividend in a year you have a net loss in the holding company. In order to protect everybody legally, if that was to occur, we would probably prefer to make another tender buyback the way we did last year than pay a straightforward dividend. So it's partly to protect your cash flow as shareholders by getting a new authorization similar to the one we had 3 years ago, which, if I remember rightly, was for about 250 million zloty with a two-year life. So we'd be looking to do something similar. Obviously, once it's in place, there may be situations where we would decide to do some open market buybacks, but there aren't any firm plans in that respect at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to ask pretty much similar question, different angles. I mean, the case of acquisitions, is this dividend would be to be reviewed, or basically we expect really sustainable?
It would really depend on the size of the acquisition. I mean, something in the region of 500-600 million probably, you know, would be affordable just with leverage, and we wouldn't need to touch the dividend, yeah, because we've already paid down 300-400 million of debt over the last 2 years, so we could easily absorb putting that debt back on the balance sheet. Obviously, if we were to do something much bigger than that, then that would change the situation.
Yeah, and last question is regarding the change in management. So for Mr. Gotlewski, after 7 years, you decide to step down. From the perspective of investor, how do we should see this? We do not expect this to. Should we see if there's a negative indication of the company's heading?
As I stated in the announcement, 7 years is a good time frame to make a change. I've always been a big fan of changes, and with a number of programs of a change we had in the company, you could tell that. I hope that a new CEO and the way it will be selected will contribute positively, will refresh the view on what can be done differently going forward. I guess it's also a question to supervise it and more of that level dynamic than just myself. But also, the other thing is, as you noticed I will be in an unchanged role until a successor is identified, and I think 6 months time frame allows for it without the risk of lacking leadership.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions coming through, so just another reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will turn the call over to Mr. Godlewski for his final comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all the questions and spending an hour with us on this call. And again, I appreciate having this opportunity of working with you, and maybe I'll have a chance to present to you the first quarter results. If not, we'll definitely have a chance to meet on the road in the nearest meetings or at just different occasions. Again, thank you very much and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.